Good afternoon. Hi, I'm Chris Dabbs, and with me I have, as usual,
Ray Dadswell.
Ray Dadswell, how you doing, Ray?
Yes, enjoying the weather once again. Summer is back for a little while.
Yes. Now, we're recording this on the 23rd of May, and we're kind of hoping that this weather, which is happening on, today is Wednesday, hoping that it's going to continue on to Bank Holiday Monday.
It did very well for Harry and Meghan.
It did, didn't it?
And speaking of that young couple, I've done a little bit of research to find out about the title Duke of Sussex.
Ah, good. Which, I'm glad. Good.
Of course, Prince Harry has inherited. And the previous time that dukedom was conferred is the word, on the 24th of November, 1801. And the only other time it's ever been given to anybody. But that was for Prince Augustus Frederick, the sixth son of King George III.
Oh, right.
But the title became extinct when Augustus died in 1843. So we're hoping that our new Duke of Sussex will be visiting us here in Eastbourne. I think it ought to be the first stop really, on any itinerary of the boy.
I wonder.
We shall see.
I wonder. And that would, of course, explain why over the bandstand at the moment, the Sussex flag is flying.
Ah, of course. Yes.
Sonia, who's new to Sussex, didn't know what the Sussex flag was. Mm-hmm. She's from Essex. And so on the Essex flag, it's weapons.
Right. We've got Burke.
Actually, it is weapons. The scimitars. I'm half joking, but I'm not too sure of the history of that. I mean, it's, you know, there's obviously some history to do with crusades and things like that. But it is quite funny in terms of me and Sonia having a joke about it. But yes, there are birds. We are going to be doing a show based on the history of the flag.
Right. What birds are they?
Well, you see, hopefully Sonia, the research desk, will come back with that in the next couple of seconds. I think they're wrens.
No.
They're not wrens. Well,
martlets.
You know what they are.
Martlets. Now, you will tell me if I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. I've grown up with them, sort of.
Oh, yes. Okay, so you know. So that's a trick question then.
Well, it wasn't. It was really just to show off my own knowledge.
Oh, fair enough. But martlets. Okay. So I don't know what martlets are, but obviously the research desk will help us. Martins. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Martlets.
Oh, confirmed.
This is
in heraldry.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So we're a little bit wiser than when we came in.
Representative of a swift.
Ah, see, so swift. Which makes sense, doesn't it, really? It does. If you look at Brighton, and you look over the West Pier in Brighton, what happens with the swifts and swallows and all those, I think they're swifts, aren't they, that flock around them?
Well, thousands of them. Mm. Moving swiftly on, if we may.
Oh dear. Thank you very much, Ray.
I'll introduce my guest, if I may.
Yes, please.
Jane Bly works with me, or is it the other way around, at the People Matter office locally here in Eastbourne. And she has a very interesting story to tell. And that's where we're going today. We're travelling once again. And thank you, Jane, for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Jane.
Tell us about your life in Africa.
Oh, my life in Africa. I wasn't quite born there, but I went there when I was 5. And what I really loved as a little girl there was the freedom. The freedom that I had. Riding my horse over the hills and far away, and giving my mother nightmares because I would never know where I was going. And she would always have to say, Jane, where are you going? I don't know, Mum. Well, which direction are you going? So I would have to tell her vaguely, over there.
What took you there in the first place?
I was brought there. My parents left England after the Second World War, and were one of the people that were encouraged to go and colonise Kenya.
Right. We used to call it Kenya. Why did we change?
That's quite a story. Everybody who was a colonial knows it as Kenya. And even here in England, people say Kenya. But when my large family fled the nest, I went and did the Know Kenya course at the Kenya Museum in Nairobi. And I did the guides course there, and you had to sign on to guide people round the museum voluntarily for a year. And that's where I was conditioned into saying Kenya, because that is how it's said now.
Interesting childhood you had there and growing up. How many years did you spend there altogether?
55 years.
Gracious me, so you know quite a lot about the country. Right. Now, your life out there, were you working there?
No, I can't. I was brought up there. I went to school there. I never worked there because I got married and had a large family. I was a sort of intermittent freelance journalist. So I would write stories and articles for the local papers.
And that brings us to the main topic today, is your writing. So you've really taken on a new career, not in journalism so much, but in authoring novels.
Yes, when I came over here at the turn of this century, I didn't want to leave Africa. And so I brought out all my old diaries and wallowed in nostalgia and decided to write a book. And I didn't want to write an autobiography because people wouldn't be interested in it, I don't think. And anyway, I was not really very proud of some of the things that I did in my life. So I thought writing a novel, I could say what I like, and I had the freedom. So that's how my novel, Breath of Africa, came to fruition. Yes.
Very good. And I think you're going to read us an extract of that in due course. So your writing career, was that something you expected you would do in earlier years?
Yes. From school, I always had an aptitude for English. I loved Shelley's poetry and Wordsworth and Keats. And I always got very good marks for essays and compositions.
It was just a step forward.
It was a step forward. When I left school, I went to Oxford, and the local editor of the local weekly magazine asked me to write back letters from Oxford. So I did that, and that was at the tender age of 19 or 20. I became a professional writer because he paid me for my columns.
Reminds one a little bit of Letters from America. You remember Alistair Cook?
I do,
from way,
yes.
Way back. They were fascinating. Mm. And rather like we're doing now, he spoke without notes, apparently, but always timed it perfectly to the half-hour programme he had on the radio. Well, we'll see how we get on today. There we are. Would you like to read a piece from your book?
Yes, I will. My book, as you might have guessed, it's a novel. The story is completely fictitious, but it's based on my experiences. And my hometown was in Nakuru, a town in the Rift Valley, and it nestled at the foot of a volcano, an extinct volcano, and it was a great place for lovers. And so here is a little excerpt. Caroline is a main character, and she is courting. They stood on the jutting promontory and looked over the dense scrub in the crater depths, interspersed with black mounds of glistening lava, a dark, forbidding country. "It's the third largest crater in the world," Brian told her. "I read that somewhere." Caroline gazed beyond at the vastness of Africa, which rolled through patterned farmlands, across hills and plains, into the hazy distance. As evening fell, grey clouds crept along the crater depths and swirled up the cliffs, snatching at them with wispy fingers as the wind caught and tossed the vapours into nothingness among the trees. They walked towards the car. But a sudden movement in the long grass near the forest distracted them. Brian turned off the track, parting the stalks in front of him. "Careful of snakes," Caroline warned. She followed, treading in his footsteps. As they approached the thrashing, it increased, and she saw the soft brown hide of a female impala, its eyes wide with fright. One leg was caught in a loop of wire. "It's a trap," But the wire hasn't tightened too much. I'll see if I can free her. Brian caught hold of the leg, and the animal still. She seemed to know they were trying to help. He struggled with the wire and eased it over the hoof. He let go. The doe stood there for a second, then moved her leg and took a small step. She bounded away, and the grass closed behind her. It was as if it had never happened.
That's great.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. Thank you very
and
much.
And the fact that it's based on your own experiences, your knowledge of the terrain and all the rest of it, makes it even more vivid.
Yes, yes.
Good for you. That's lovely. Mm. I must confess at this point that you gave me a copy of your book some little while ago, and it's still in the pile of quite a number of volumes that are waiting to be read. That's good and much appreciated. How long ago was it that you wrote this book?
I started writing it about 30 years ago, but I can never do anything by halves. And I found, or my family found, that Mummy was spending far too long at the desk, and people were getting forgotten at school, and there wasn't anything in the kitchen for them to eat. And I very soon got the message that I had to stop trying to write a book and concentrate on my family. So when I came here to live in Eastbourne, I picked it up again. Although it took me 30 years to write, I actually rarely started writing it in about 2002.
How easy did you find it to get hold of a publisher?
Practically impossible. It took me about 7 years from the time I had actually finished writing the book to find a publisher. And that was admittedly after a lot of titivating and editing and seeking advice as to how I should write. I had no idea how to write a book. I just wrote it.
And that same publisher is now asking you for new books. Is that correct?
Yes, I've written 3 novels. Now, my first one, Breath of Africa, was published in 2013. So I've now written 3 novels, and I'm branching out into new directions now. My latest book, which is coming out on the 15th of August, is not a novel. It's a beginner's how-to book.
That would be very useful, I'm sure, for aspiring writers who may be listening to this broadcast now to know just how to get going.
Okay, except that my how-to book is not about writing. It's about starting your own business.
Right, which brings us into another area completely, but in fact, it takes us back at the same time to People Matter, starting your own business. Mm. Would you like to tell us about that?
Can I contradict you? I've got a few tips for writers.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The Starting Your Own Business book is a by the way. My first advice to any wannabe writer is finish your book. Start it and finish it. Write about what you know. It's very tempting to write half of it and then want to show it to people, but people want to know the whole book. My second piece of advice is before you think of trying to submit it to an agent or a publisher, make it as absolutely perfect as you possibly can. You need to have it properly edited before you submit it. Then you need to work out what genre it is. The agents and the publishers just work in genres. And it's simple if you can pinpoint a genre, a little box for them to put you into. Mm. Some books waver between different genres, which is a little more difficult. And then it gets more difficult because you have to decide, do I send it to an agent or a publisher, or do I self-publish? That's another option these days. And finally, never give up. Don't ever give up.
Did you ever feel like giving up, though?
Yes. I tried agents and then I tried publishers. And I went on peer review websites also, which I found very, very helpful. Putting my book out there for other writers, authors, to pick to pieces. When I was just about to actually give up bothering the agents and the publishers, I thought, I'll have to try and think and learn about self-publishing. And then bingo, it was regarding genre, actually. One of my peer review helpers said to me, Jane, you're marketing your book as historical fiction. Why don't you try contemporary fiction? She said, there is a publisher, a new publisher, advertising in the writing magazine. Why don't you apply to them? So I did, and they accepted me.
That's the way to do it. So there's some useful tips for anyone out there who's thinking of putting pen to paper. For me, that strikes a chord because I wrote articles for the local newspapers for more than a dozen years. I'm thinking back, how would I feel in trying perhaps to write a novel based on my life in Thailand from years ago? That's a possibility.
Yes.
Who knows? They say that every individual has a book inside him. Now, would you agree with that?
Yes, but maybe in some cases somebody else should write that book, because not everybody has the talent for writing.
Yeah. Thank you, Jane. That's so helpful to anyone out there who might be wanting to write a book, and why not? I'll come back to you on that. But for the moment, tell us about what you're doing, starting your own business based there at People Matter.
I've been with People Matter, I think, now for 9 years. Before that, I started mentoring small business startups here in Eastbourne and working for EDEAL, the Eastbourne and District Enterprise Agency. And when that particular project stopped, I felt a bit bereft and decided, well, if I can't do it for money, I might as well do it for nothing. So I signed up as an advisor for People Matter, initially helping people by writing CVs for them, and then quite quickly going on to my speciality, which is helping mentoring people who want to start their own businesses. And I love the one-to-one contact.
Yes, I agree on that entirely. We must finish there, but Jane, many thanks indeed. Do let us know when you publish your next book, and I'll try to read the first one before that day comes.
Sorry to interrupt now. It's just interesting to me, obviously, with starting a small business. Did you say you're writing a book, like a handbook for that?
Yes.
All right. Sorry.
Yes.
And I must have missed when you mentioned it, when it was going to be published.
Actually, it is a beginner's guide. And in it, it's not just a dry, this is what you do, and then that's what you do, and the other. In it, as I am a writer, I've included anecdotes as examples. Mm. And a number of the anecdotes are actually taken from real life examples of people that I have mentored.
A good interview, learning about your background in Kenya and the writing of the books and your current work. Are you going to put your feet up sometime?
No. No, I'm a person that needs to do things, I think. Even if it's just sitting at my computer and writing.
Very grateful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for coming in, Jane. And we'll see you again when you publish your next book.
Yes, please.
Yes, exactly. It'd be fantastic. Ray, see, now that's a good find for a guest.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks very much, Jane. And we'll speak to you again soon. Mm. Take care.